Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing the Tuition Secrets, joined once again by Derek Johnson. So, Derek, what have you been up to? You got a new book out? Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah. So, The Midnight Rider Rides Again, it's the name of the book. And it's just, it's been crazy for me. I don't know. I always wonder what it'd be like to write a book. And, of course, it's one of those things, really. I tell everybody Donald Trump wrote this book, and I'm getting to benefit from that, even though, it's a lot of information. And if I put everything in there, I don't know if everybody would read it. My publicist, when he first saw the manuscript, I had every executive order as far as the whole order in there. And he was like, dude, this is way too long. You're going to have to condense all that. So he was like, you could do that later. But it took a while to get it in a chronological order and the dates and everything. So it's been a great, for me, it's been pretty cool. But, once again, it's everything that President Trump, and then also guys like you. I mean, you paved the way as a Navy SEAL, all the unconventional warfare, all the different, manuals that we have in the military. And then there's manuals that guys like me would have never seen in the military as far as when I was in my capacity, right? And so get to bring that to light to people, that it's not a secret. You can read this if you are interested in reading this, and here's where you find it. So that's, kind of what the book's all about, is putting it together, how the generals pulled this off, and getting to highlight, guys like you and what you did, and also people like Lieutenant Colonel Bosey and Colonel Sellers and all the many colonels and all, I mean, just anybody who's ever served. But luckily I had Lieutenant Colonel Bosey and Colonel Charles Sellers do the forward on it, and also put key pieces in the back. From a colonel standpoint and a lieutenant colonel standpoint, both of special operations, how the generals would pull this off without, it being a dictatorship to certain people in the world. But flipping our foundation back on its foundation.
Yeah. And, I've been reading, and it's exceptionally well done. It's number one on Amazon. And I guess even on your own site, you've sold lots of copies. So congratulations. It's, like I said, well written. I think it's like almost like a manual that they should teach in schools. I don't know if you meant it that way, or someone gave you an insight on that, but this is an excellent book for everybody to read. It's so good. So well done.
That's what I wrote it from the standpoint. I remember I loved to read in school. I did, but yeah. I hated having to hold my place and go to the back and look for the reference. I hated that. I wanted to see the reference as I went. So I remember the Cliff Note books in school. So I was like, you know what? This is what Americans need, are the Cliff Notes. And then you can lay it out right in front of your laptop. And as you read, you can pull up each link. You don't have to go to the back to find the reference. So I did. I wanted to make it more of a Cliff Note book.
Yeah, good. No, I love history. And you did history very good in this book. The Midnight Rider kind of like reference to, and you have some good insights about that, Paul Revere. And you guys were both 39 when you came out, and he was 39 when he rode. That's like, wow, that's very interesting. So I see why you would like to, why you wanted to, name it The Midnight Rider Rides Again. And, I've read a lot about that, and that there was, he wasn't the only one that rode that night, and there were actually women that rode that night as well.
Yeah, it is funny how he came about too. He wasn't going to be remembered in history, as none of those were either, except for when Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote about it. But it's kind of like recently, and you may even met the guy, but the guy, he was living up somewhere in Florida, the sniper that passed away that had the, what we know as the host kid.
Yes.
Yeah. It, no one would have known about him had not one of his buddies written about him. And that's what I try to tell people a lot of times, that heroes and legends are not going to let you know that they are heroes and legends. you know.
Yeah, well, that was still six. That's it. Still Team 6, he actually came and taught the snipers there. So, wow, what a big guy to teach. Marine sniper, legendary guy. So, very, very amazing. So, yeah, he's laid out.
I just thought it was cool, though, the fact that it's kind of, I'm getting the honor, and I wish I could put every veteran in there that I know myself, you know, like, but, and I have talked to, and I can tell you right now. If you want to add to it, because it's going to have a part two finale. And I've told that to Brad Wozniak. I've told it to every veteran. I said, look, if you want to add to from your viewpoint, also with your experience, just like Colonel Sellers did, I mean, former Deputy Commander Delta Force, you know, to me, it's getting a highlight. I'm living also my grandfather, my great uncles, I'm living their life in a different manner. So I'm getting a highlight. Paul Revere and the different people. I thought that was cool because he was always my favorite period long before I ever blew up, just because, now he wasn't wearing a cowboy hat, but he should have been, but riding a horse through town. I mean, that anybody who's ever ridden a horse wide open, you can feel that feeling already. And it's kind of like your adrenaline. You and I both know, but you know it a lot more being a SEAL. That adrenaline you get, you have to get in another gear when you're going to do something like that. I didn't even realize his age until I started doing the math. I'm like, wait, he was 39. I just turned 39. Anyway, I was like, man, that's wild. So,
you know. Yeah, that's good when you know you're. When you get like a confirmation like that, you're like, I'm on track. It's kind of like a signal that, yeah, you're on the right track and you're doing the right thing. And you definitely have been. You have helped a lot of people understand, you know, what's really going on in America now. How and why Trump seemed to walk away, and what that was all about. Now, you've basically laid it all out. And I've had a lot of other people recently come out and lay out even more. So all the things that you've been saying, other people now are confirming. So it's really, really exciting time frame.
It is exciting. And I mean, anybody who's, well, I always use the number 40, but I'm not knocking anybody who's 35 and a patriot in a weight, but especially if you're right around 40 and above, all of us have lived through the politics, the drama, that he said, she said, that I'm going to do this, they never do it. And, you know, that's what I've been trying to reiterate to people is that, did you either want to keep living in that, or did you want to go through a little rough period, but a clean out and a change that we can really have a change and flip it back on the right foundation? So if you want the drama, well, we were already there. We already had that on all facets. But that drama at the end of the day, once again, it affects our paychecks. That's why President Trump said on the campaign trail, I will win the American people over by the economy first, because that's what affects them on a daily basis. And once I show them that I can handle the economy, they'll trust me with the military, because 94% of people are not in the military. So, you know, and so that's kind of the way I explained it recently, is that it still needs to be a heavy emphasis on the military operation, but also how do they do it and how do they pull it off?
Yeah. And I like the way you've been sharing the flights. So you've really been outlining the flights and explaining to people what's really going on. So the flights down to Guantanamo. So you and I know, and you were almost on a group that was going to be there for the military tribunals, but they got called, cut back a little bit. Maybe they weren't ready for that yet.
So, yeah, they weren't ready. Well, they're not ready for that. I mean, because as you and I know, that's one thing I try to explain to people is, look, President Trump don't endorse me because the operation is still ongoing. We know that with subterranean warfare. Subterranean warfare is where people need to focus their minds to. It's that, look. And it's confirmed with Israel. It's confirmed in Syria. It's confirmed everywhere, the tunnels. And mainstream's confirming the tunnels. So I tell people, as long as they're still putting that confirmation out there, this is an ongoing battle. And it's all in legislation. So, yeah, that's That's why I've been, you know, I got held back from Gitmo. But
yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, like I've been saying for a long time, there's operations going on, and it's a worldwide thing. The military is all over the world. And you've been pointing that out, how military aircraft are coming into America. And this is not normal at all. So we're working together with military groups all around the world to take down the deep state. So what everybody can be very happy about is it is going on, but as you and I know, in any secretive operation, tactically, you need to have that secrecy to continue operations to be successful. That's why it's not being put out there. Remember when Trump first came in, he's like, I wouldn't tell everybody what I'm going to do. Let's go knock hell out of them. And then I tell them after I knocked hell out of them what I did. So that's the way it's done.
Exactly. Well, and that's the other thing is at the end of the day, it's our brothers and sisters still out there on the line, you know, and in any other time period, it could have been me or you. And it has been you before. It has been me before. Anybody who's been in service has been in that position. And that's what it's for ultimately is, once again, the safety, effectively and efficiently safety of our troops. I recently put a video up of a retired command sergeant major who's now in the contractual work of the subterranean warfare, and he explained that to a T very well of what's going on. As you and I know what MOP 4 gear is, so explain that to people, MOPP, MOP 4 gear. And ironically, in a video, he said they were in them for 17 hours at a time. I mean, I don't know if he's dropping bombs or not, but, you know, but still, in all reality, being in a MOP 4 for 17 hours, people just don't even, you know, if you've never been in the military, you've never been around MOP 4, you wouldn't realize what that's all about. I mean, a guy can go in 215 pounds at MOP 4 gear and operate all day and come out about 190, you know, so, It's intense, but I think when people, you know, like the what I've been trying to do is go back to the basics again with certain people and say, look, do you believe we were in Iraq for 20 years? Because we most certainly were. All right. Well, that order that was put into place is over here in the War Powers Act as well. Same kind of order. Well, here's Donald Trump's order. So if you believe in one, you got to believe in the other. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to understand why or the why yet, but that's kind of where, once again, I tell people that military veterans that know what's going on can help you a lot more, not knocking everybody else. It's just not knocking that. But when it comes to military operations, when it comes to unconventional warfare and things of that nature, I mean, it's not just one little manual somewhere laying around that everybody's going by. It's layers and layers of orders, layers of manuals and publications.
Yeah, and the aircraft that are involved in a lot of that stuff, you brought up the, so in my day there were certain aircraft that we utilized and they've been massively upgraded. There's one military control aircraft that basically stacks aircraft, controls other aircraft that can stay up for a week at a time now. I'm like, oh my god. So of course it's being refueled, but it's basically, I've been on the old school one. So it was like banks of, you know, screens, computer screens, high speed back then. I'm sure they're like way high speed now. And, you know, officers and different, you know, professions at these boards, working together, working with groups on the ground. Like, say you got a special operations group. Like, I've worked with these guys on the ground. That's why we got to go up and talk to them. This is what we see when you guys send us info. And like, wow. So, and this is how we call an aircraft. And this is how we refuel the aircraft. And this is how we bring in C-130 Spectre gunships and on and on and on. So you have lots of that going on right now. So It's not normal for in peacetime for that stuff to be up. So stuff is going on.
I mean, C-130s and C-17s all day long, and a lot of C-5s all over, all day, every day. Of course, they showed Biden and Scranton yesterday in a C-32, and the news is calling it Air Force One. I mean, there's just so much stuff that people – it is hard for people because we're trying to explain one thing, and then we got – all these other aircraft and all this other information. And, you know, it's not that we're laughing because we know people are suffering, sure, but once sure. again, people suffer every day. So someone had to do it. So it's like, it's people are learning a lot more about the military, which is great, than they've ever known too.
Right.
And, what you went through as a SEAL and, you know, an elite force, ladies and gentlemen, elite force, you know, mm-hmm. versus, and that's not knocking anybody else. Everybody has a part of military, but,
absolutely.
You know, but my goodness, I mean, it is layers of stuff, but the aircraft are really that all the P-8s, I mean, one morning I caught, I think it was 23 P-8s that took off at one time out of Jacksonville at one hour, 23,
oh,
you know, wow. And that's just not that. I mean, it's not normal, ladies and gentlemen, it's just not, that and they're not
the aircraft too. That is very, very,
and they're not, and they're not flying over the ocean. They're flying over waterways in the mainland, back forth over rivers and you know, lakes, and you know, once again,
yeah, absolutely. So, and that's what's really nice about in the Midnight Rider, Rides Again. You describe a lot of this stuff, and you describe Joe Biden, and I had no idea that his signature is different now. So you even point that out, and you show it. It's like what? And you, I mean, we've all looked at the new Joe Biden. It's like whoever that actor is doing a really good job, actually. But it doesn't look like the old Joe Biden really at all. But you know, they're keeping that going. Kamala Harris, different Kamala Harris. So a lot of these people have gone to Guantanamo, had their trials. Some of them have been executed. Joe Biden on Inauguration Day was basically had 21-3 cannon salute. And his lookalike came and, like, you know, witnessed that, and they had some kind of ceremony there with Hillary Clinton and Obama lookalikes and all kind of crazy stuff. So it's a lot of show on somebody's part. So yeah. what do you think as far as, like, is it the deep state doing some of this, or is it we're doing that, or is it a little bit of both? How do you look at that?
I think it's all us doing it. I think it's all of us. I think when President Trump tells everybody we have it all, we call them all. I mean, the biggest part of all this is what I explain to people, that once again, use the age again, 40 and above. Everybody 40 and above has witnessed a president, a federal corporation president, get in. They see either 4 or 8 years, but especially the first 4 years after the last president. That first 4 years, that new president spends 2 years unraveling what happened here. That's not a continuity, and it's all checks and balances, right? Why would you spend 2 years unraveling the last four, right? And we've always had a battle. We've always had a Democrat or Republican, and they're always saying, well, this last guy, he did this, and this, and that, and that. And it's always lopsided. It's never like a little difference, right? It'd be different if it's a little difference. So I always highlight that first. And then you think about Reagan. Now, even though Reagan was still under the corporation, a lot of these people were good people before they got in the seat. And then they got in the seat, and then they realized how big that swamp is behind them back here. And even President Trump, this is what I tell patriots out there, and you and I, we've seen them. I've seen the arguments. I've seen people attacking me, attacking you. We see it all. I don't really care from that angle, because I know I stand by military law, military orders, and what's on paper. I stand by the receipts. Now, I don't have to like all the receipts, but here's the receipts. Let's see why they put them there. Well, Donald Trump told the whole world in a speech, and I have to go back and see what date it was, but he told the whole world, he said, even I didn't realize how deep the swamp actually was. Even him. So when you think of President Trump being an outside guy, and then you think of probably the most conservative federal corporation president, it's probably Reagan, they fired a warning shot at him for being a little too charismatic. A lot of people forget that. They fired a warning shot at him. And that was a shot saying, hey, you get a little bit too much in the mouth about conservatism and hey, patriotism, right? Back it up a little bit, right? Mm. So President Trump doing what he did with North Korea, with China, the Forbidden City of China, first foreign leader in 500 plus years, Saudi Arabia, the sword, Russia, the soccer ball. Had Donald Trump not had any extra backup back here, if this wasn't an operation and he didn't have, I mean, he was going up against the elite corporation. And that's what I do to explain to people that I personally believe that this was already planned. I don't care how long ago it was. I started hearing probably 2012 from some people that I know, but they were congressmen, and one of them's one of the key congressmen that was with President Trump in the early days. I won't say his name right now. I'll tell you off the screen, but you know. But right now, I know he's in a spot where he's not being heard, and a lot of people can probably put it together if they've ever, you know, heard a lot of other people talking, or they read Q a lot. But you know, I personally think if President Trump says we have it all, we've caught them all, I don't think that's a pep rally speech. I think that everything we're watching now for the people is just the rollout, and they have to just, you know, you kind of have to hand select Gretel people with this kind of information, not what you and I bring them, but the evidence that it did happen. You have to Hansel and Gretel that, because if you dump their everything that even just you and I know on Iraq even or Afghanistan, they wouldn't be able to handle some of that. Right. You know, so child trafficking, sex trafficking, human trafficking. I mean, drug trafficking is believable because people see that a lot. They see fentanyl and they see different things, but they don't see child trafficking. They don't see human trafficking. They don't see sex trafficking. Like visually. So you have to show them stuff visually. So I personally don't think it's deep state doing anything like that. I personally just think that it's every bit of those PEDs that President would have signed way back that had to be recorded lawfully. I think that all that is what gives him the power to say, I will be exonerated. He's not saying acquitted. He's not saying validated. He's not saying vindicated. He said, I will be exonerated. So that means that what they're doing by taking out the enemy, I think all the deep state are just trapped. And there are retaliations. Sure, I do believe that. I'm not saying that I don't believe certain things are taking place, but I think they're more retaliations. And they're also some of the lower level guys that were working for the higher level that they're still trying to smoke out. And when President Trump said we're going to decimate street crime 75 to 85%, I think that was a conservative number. Because if he'd have said 95 or 100%, no one would believe it. And I just think a lot of the stuff we've been seeing are the lower levels that they're still smoking out, and they're going to try to clean out as much as they can while they were doing it. I mean, as you know, why would you go in and just take out one or two? You know, we know, you and I both know good and well, if you took out Saddam Hussein, he's got another guy right up under him ready to roll. And it's always been like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's a lot of cleaning up that's going on. So, definitely, as you've been pointing out, lots of flights going down in Guantanamo. It's a continuation. People being rounded up, funnel flights, taken down there. They're standing justice. At some point, that's going to be revealed, but we can look at the evidence, and we keep, you know, bringing that up and trying to keep people calm and keep people focused that this is going on. Now, on the other side of this, people are like, well, I want to see something. Well, if you were to see it, then it would be in the streets, and a lot of people will be suffering. A lot of people will be going down, good people going down. So the way it's going down right now, from a military's perspective and from a special operations from the highest level perspective, and Derek's been telling you how there's colonels that have been involved in this stuff too. We need the digital soldiers to, like we are, to keep you guys informed and keep you guys on even keel. And that's been fantastic. Now, you've been to Mar-a-Lago several times now. What has been your experience when you go there? I know it's not anything big. You're like just getting some pictures and hanging out, but is there anything else going on there you can reveal, or is just kind of good old boys hanging out, having a good time?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, when you go there, it's really cool. I mean, you got to be formal. You can't wear blue jeans. You know, you got to be all dressed up, and you got to learn what forks to use. You know, what spoon to use, kind of stuff like that. But you know what I take out of it is, I think some people, you know, even my own family, they don't get mad at me. Mad's probably not the right word, but I guess they think I downplay it a lot. But I still look at President Trump like I look at you. I mean, you know, like I, you know, if I was in uniform around you, I would be at you know, attention or parade rest, treating you with respect, right? But also, you know, you've been there before in a different way as well. So it's like it's that equal balance there that, you know, you can be there because you know you have that respect, you know you have that etiquette, and that honor. So it's more like that, but it's cool to watch them come in. I tell people, look, I mean, everything that's going on, once people read the receipts of the military occupation and the continuity of operations and comprehend it, once people comprehend that, they'll understand all these trials and all that are, it's all part of the operation. You put the most popular and most powerful man through our judicial system, that's the way you clean it out right there. You take a guy who can handle the mockery, the ridicule, the scrutiny from all the people who don't really know what's going on, because he's still getting that. It's just they don't realize what the play is. But you got a guy who can handle that. At Mar-a-Lago, he comes in, you know, he's just like pointing at everybody, and he's doing his little dance, and he's the DJ of the music. So at the table, you know, he's got his phone. And Roseanne was with me the last time we were all sitting there together, and so she kept saying, "Play, hold on, I'm coming," you know, because she wanted to dance to it. And he finally put it on, and he'll look around. He's sitting at his table, and he'll look around to see who's looking, you know, and who's looking at him, because he's gonna be dancing to it. So that's my take, because he'll do the, and then if he catches you looking at him while he's doing that, and he'll go. He'll do like that, and you know, and it's stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, you know, it's nothing. He'll take, like, the last time I was there, so I was there on a Thursday and Friday, so 2 weeks ago. The Thursday he was at the table. The Friday night there was no event going on. It was just dinner for the members, and he came in late. Came in an hour late. He came in his golf attire, and the Space Force logo. And there was a guy sitting there, and I couldn't see his rank completely. There's one person in his full blues, and his wife and his family, and he took one picture, and that was that one picture. And then he sat with a few older gentlemen and talked for maybe 30 minutes, not at his dinner table. And then he walked around by our table, and he gave me and my buddy Cameron, he looked at us, and he did like that, just like that's his face was just like, and then he went up in the door and he never came back. Now so you know, but once again, I know he carries the two phones, and I know what's going on. You know what's going on, but I don't know what that day consisted of and why he didn't stick to his normal routine. But that's fine. That's fine with me. But other than that, I mean, I get to talk to him this time. But I'll be back. I think I'm coming back down. Let's see, the 26th and the 27th. I think is when I'll be there. So, but it normally is. It's normally just dinner, and a lot of his members know who I am. They follow, and they know what's going on, and they know Q, and they, you know, they know everything. I mean, but it's just kind of, you know, once again, a lot of those members are just members. They're playing golf every day, and tennis and whatnot, and they live in a life. And but you know, as far as President Trump, I tell people, look, I mean, if you'll read the small blueprint, you know, and understand that, then you'll understand that man has no worry or care in the world, because he don't have to, because we have it all. We've caught him all, you know. So
and yeah, I've been you know, watching a lot of other people that are out there revealing information. There's you know, I think you know, when Iran basically hit Israel, they scoped out their missile systems and radar systems and everything with the cheap drones and the cheap missiles. And then they came in with the high-speed missiles and hit their military base. Now, I think that when I don't think if Israel takes it to the next level and attacks Iran, that's really going to kick some things off. So these military operations, we know that a lot of stuff is getting taken down, but there's a lot of evil, like in Ukraine and in Israel, people that are running the show there. The only way they're going to be removed is through force, unfortunately. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and I try to keep the Bible out of a lot of stuff because I'm not a preacher or anything like that. But, I mean, we know the Bible does say any nation against Israel will be damned. It will be obliterated, decimated. And those are words that President Trump uses, too. We're going to obliterate and decimate. And, I mean, that's not going in and shaving the top of the ant bed off. That means the ant bed will be annihilated, torched. There won't be any buildup left. When he talked like that, and we've all kind of known throughout the years, everybody who's ever, once again, over a certain age, Iran is just always been this way. And it's not the people. Once again, we're trying to get people to understand it's not everybody in each country. There's a lot of great people in every country. It's the dictators we're talking about. It's these evil people who kill for the wrong reasons, not for peace and love and prosperity that, you know. And a lot of them say that, but they're not. And so, yeah, the Israel thing, Iran, they launched 300 missiles, I think it was. I went back and read, it's like 300, and one person was injured. So I tell people, too, that tells you a lot that this thing is under control, because I see aircraft daily in and out of Israel, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. There's small aircraft. They look like crop dusters. Some of the aircraft that they have up, and, you know, with 300 missiles coming in, had that been an unexpected attack, 300 missiles would have hit a lot more than one person. I think it's to like you said, to track a little bit more of their systems and whatnot, see what they're willing to do. And that's also a form of that retaliation. You don't want to make people do something. That's what I'm trying to tell people all the time. You don't want to make people. You can't make someone be a Christian. You can't make someone be a good person. You can't make somebody have decency. You can't make someone make the right decisions. And that's what President Trump did along the way with his laws and orders. They put all this in place and said, hey, we know what you're doing. Come over here and be on the good side. Stop now. Come on the good side now. So this is one of those, as you know, it's a battle term, but a line's been drawn in the sand. What side are you going to come on? What side are you going to stay on? And we are getting into the final stages. It was going to be Israel and Iran. Iran's always been a topic. Israel's always been a topic. And so that, and then, you know, the other is the wishy-washy. You know, the part that shows you it is an operation, but it's also a controlled operation, is with Biden. So the October the 7th, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to believe we're already almost to May of 2024 to me. I mean, this year has gone by like that. But October the 7th was obviously the 50th anniversary of Yom Kippur. And that's when they said the attack happened, right? Israel. Well, then 1 week, of course, my friend that takes me to Mar-a-Lago a lot, Siggy Flicker, she loves when I rattle these off quick, but still, in 1 week's time, because what I'll do with her when we're sitting around new people, I'll say, Siggy, how big is Israel? She'll go, oh, size of New Jersey. I say, okay, so in 1 week's time, you're telling me that Romania, Bulgaria, Nigeria, Algeria, Tunisia, Switzerland, Sweden, Belgium, Netherlands, Hungary, United Arab Emirates, Australia, Canada, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, United States, and Russia were all in Israel in 1 week's time for Hamas, you know?
Wow.
And I mean, that's what I have all those documented on my pages in 1 week's time. Thailand, Japan. I mean, there's a few more I'm leaving out, but that was all those military aircraft were in Israel in one from October the 7th to October the 14th in Russia, of all people, a Russia humanitarian aircraft. You know, the
huge aircraft, yeah.
The huge aircraft. And then the article just came out yesterday in Pennsylvania that same aircraft was seen over Pennsylvania. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it's they're telling you without telling you, this is part of that amplified final battle of 2024. But then you had Kamala, same time period, saying no U.S. troops will be in Israel whatsoever. I have troops in Israel before and after she said that. All right. Then you fast forward just recently, last week, Biden and Kamala said that there would be harsh consequences if Netanyahu and Israel attack Rafah. All right. Well, then the same week, Biden and the administration is sending Israel 1,800, 2,000 pound bombs. I mean, so. And then they turn around the attack with Iran, the 300 missiles. Biden turns around and says, we stand with Israel. I mean, it's anybody who follows that should go, okay, that don't. And now what they're doing, though, they get people with him stuttering a lot and that he's got dementia. And I'm like, no, when you go back here and read this Army manual, that you and I, Army manual, here it is right here, Army 2019 manual. The Canadian Defense Manual aligns with it. The Canadian says we stand with Israel and the United States. It also talks about what was said in 2018, 2019, the Army is spending $500 million training our soldiers for our next wars to be in mega cities, not inside them, but beneath them. And then it also shows $572 million in both these manuals. And the chapter says Hamas, Egypt, Gaza, cross-border operations, way back in 2019. So they're telling, and it's actually titled Subterranean Warfare. So they're telling you way back 2019 what's happening right now in our Army publications on a .mil PDF. So, you know, like I tell people, now it's unfortunate. Yes, there's all, and you and I both know there's always going to be casualties of war, civilian and military. And you and I could be a casualty. We don't know that. You and I could be that. Anybody listening could be a casualty. But once again, I'm not God, and I don't know his ultimate plan. But I do know that we all live and die, and we all have a purpose here, and that's what we're trying to do is say, look, but we can prevent a few things every now and then, because as you and I know, there are some people who will go stick their nose. It's like rubberneckers in a traffic jam. That they cause more accidents than the accident itself. So some things you can prevent if you say, hey, I would travel right now. I've told my friends, I said, well, they're saying they were going somewhere in Europe or way back when whatever was going on. I said, I wouldn't go right now. I'd wait. You're not going to lose anything by waiting. Now, the odds of them getting struck aren't there, but you still could be that one. So anyway, that's what I think is going on. And I think we're in that final stretch. And President Trump said November will be the final battle. It will be historical. I mean, if this was just another 4 years, no matter how bad it was with Biden, if it was just another 4 years, I mean, historical is a big word. If you go by the terminology, it could be monumental, but historical is a bigger word than monumental. Right. And I think that when he uses the word historical, that means everything's going to be unveiled. I think they're going to show the election interference fraud. I think a lot of that's going to start unveiling.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think that's what we're seeing right now in Congress. We're starting to move in that direction with Mike Johnson and Mar-a-Lago, Trump standing behind him, the stern look. I love that when Trump gets that look, he means business.
And well, the Marine Corps there. Yeah.
So it's basically you know, talking about how they're gonna, like, you know, you can't vote unless you have something to identify you as a U.S. citizen, and they're gonna push for that. I think that's probably gonna go through. So that's gonna disappear, you know, a lot of the strategy I think that you know, the deep state actors have been using is bringing all these illegals across the border. Now, just it was like yesterday or the day before yesterday, they had a huge group of people in New York City I guess they're getting ready to kick him out of their luxury hotels and they're not going to pay him anymore. They're getting word that they're not going to be able to use them. So they went to the courthouse, thousands and thousands of them. I said that the big cities, especially big blue cities, are going to be some problem areas there with all these illegals there. They're gonna probably start rioting pretty soon. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is one that gets me all. I guess this is one that gets me attacked the most, which is fine. I tell people, if you're mad, if you're upset, you're bitter, whatever you are, you're right where you need to be because I'll give you the receipts. You know, once again, like the Midnight Rider, I happen to have one right here. But once again, just like that, that book was written because of Donald John Trump. I didn't write the laws. I didn't pass the laws. I didn't write those manuals. I didn't write this operation. And it wasn't just one person either, but as you know, but I'd say exactly what Donald John Trump tells us. And I tell people there's two things going on. Once again, if you want to stay on the drama side, the angry, bitter, mad, sad, you know, whatever it is, fuss and fight. Now, if you like that, then stay on that. That's not what we're talking about. There's two things that President Trump has to do. He has to keep civil rest. He has to keep that because this isn't. Now, I have my personal thoughts and opinions on, you know, gay marriage and this, that, and other, and this, that, and that, just like you do. And you and I probably could talk about some of those things and probably butt heads on some of them and maybe align in others. That's what we're supposed to do as Americans. This is different, ladies and gentlemen. That's social things. That's stuff that you keep in your household and how you live your life. It has nothing to do well, what's been going on in the world. So, once again, President Trump's playing two roles. He's got to keep that. And that's also part of what we know as continuity of operations going on with Congress and the government. And then also keeping people at bay. We don't need people on the street fighting over dumb stuff that doesn't matter. Because that's what the enemy has done all this time. They have pinned us against our core values in America, which is politics, religion, race, and also patriotism. And our nation was not set up to fight over those things like that at the end of the day. So with the border stuff, President Trump says all the time it's central casting. Now, if I was I'll use you as an example, but even though I look at you as bigger than me, Mr. Navy SEAL and everything else you've done, but if I was going to have you in an audience somewhere, in an audience that did not know you, but they knew me, and I was going to highlight you, and I was going to highlight everything, that stuff that you would let me talk about, and your accolades as a Navy SEAL and also as a CIA and everything you've done, well, you know, you'd be sitting a little higher up in your chair. You know, I said, where's my buddy Jaco at? Oh, He's about to honor me. He's going to sit up a little bit. He's going to start doing like that, right? Or you might even be willing to get ready to stand up where you could take your bow, right? And I started saying, hey, where's Jacob? Where's he at? I can't find him. And there's a light in my face, right? Jacob, there he is right there. Central casting. How many people are going to know? How many people that don't know the legislation, the laws and the orders, the unconventional warfare, the publications, everything. How many people are going to know, dang, Jaco was central casting. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, that dude is, how many people are going to know that? That's exactly what he did with Tom Homan at CPAT last year. Now, I know who Tom Homan is, and you know who Tom Homan is.
Yeah.
But I said that last year, and I said, no, he's not saying Tom Homan himself is central casting. I personally think Tom Homan has probably been the most lethal ICE agent in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. I think so. And what he did, and President Trump says that about him, says he is the man, he's the go-getter, he's the man. Well, I was with him, that's who was there 2 weeks ago down at Mar-a-Lago was Tom Homan. But I tell people, when he honored him that way, he's saying that the most lethal man in history is running what everybody thinks is a border crisis. Now, in years past, has there been a border crisis? Absolutely. I'm not saying we've never had a border crisis. I'm saying that what you're seeing right now is part of that operation to filter into some of these cities as well. The only way you get some people to wake up and care is to put it at their doorstep to make them think it's real. Now, all these people that are acting, they're also protected. They got people in there. I believe there's a lot of military involved in that, but they're not in uniform. I think there's people in there that are in protection roles just in case some civilian out there thought, oh, I'm gonna cap one of them. I think that there's protection there. But why else would Donald Trump? I flip it here. I say if that was all, if he's just saying central casting and he's making light of the border and people really are dying, then we should have a problem with Donald Trump and also what he would be saying and how his response to it would be. But it wouldn't make sense with all the legislation he's put into place. So see, that's where you have a, if you have like a, you know, two magnets, they just can't, something ain't there, because why would he also do this over here that looks great? We know that he's cleaning out the child trafficking. He says, I'm going to return every child to their home. None of that would jive, as the old saying is. So when he says it's central casting, he's telling everybody what you're seeing right now is. But it's also, for the people who don't know that, it's to wake them up, because there's still some people asleep who don't care. They don't care about voter ID. They don't care about how we vote, when we vote, you know, how many people have been voting, casting multiple ballots. So it's to wake people up. So at what point do you do that? Well, sometimes you have to take the wolf and put the wolf at the door. And sometimes you have to open the door and let the wolf in the door, you know. But you know you got control of that wolf. It's kind of like anybody else that has a dog that is trained to fight or protect. Well, that dog knows that command by that one person. And that one person knows that, okay, one word and I call this dog up, right? So I look at it like that. And that's also what President Trump does. So central casting, when you go to search engine optimization, anybody who knows anything about technology today, SEO is one of the most driving components in companies' marketing. So central casting is the first thing that pops up, is the leading background actor agency in the nation. Well, we're not talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. We're not talking about, you know, Matt Damon and all these people that people know. We're talking about the other guy, like the one that don't even get a credit in the bottom of the movie film. It's like the one, by the time that person does get credit as the other, people done left the theater, right? So that's the actors we're talking about. So I think it was to wake people up to care about the policies in place, is what Donald Trump talks about, Title 42 and all the other policies of immigration, you know, because we are a land of immigrants. But we're a land of immigrants that bought into the American way of life and became Americans. So you're not an immigrant anymore. You're an American if you bought into it. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from. So all of that is the central casting. And what better place than to take them to Nantucket? I mean, we're even the rich Republicans, right? We know this for a fact. It's not all, people think this is all Democrat and liberal. We're talking about some other people also that were in echelons that didn't want to care either. And they were the Republicans on paper, but they weren't for everybody. So you take these people that are actors and you drop them off in all these cities, these blue ran cities with mayors, and you drop them off in, you know, like the big, you know, I do like that, the holier than now, you tip your nose up. You drop them in places like that, people start caring really quick, right? So I think that's what that is. And paper says that's what it is. And legislation shows what that is. Legislation. Every time you see anything with Biden and the border, guess what's always mentioned? Nicaragua, Haiti, and Venezuela. And Donald Trump is the one who put all the executive orders with national emergencies in place for Nicaragua, Haiti, and Venezuela. Those are also part of those executive orders that Biden's been extending. So it's all part of the operation. You know,
wow, that was incredible breakdown. Outstanding work. So yeah, I believe Central Casting's been involved quite some time, and I've seen some of these. I'm like, Central Casting. I can see Central Casting too, because when I was SEAL Team 6, we would have role players on a massive scale, and they're from a group that basically puts them together in the military, and they bring them on like cruise ship. We'd have like 1,000 people on the cruise ship, and we take down a cruise ship. And the same thing with towns. We come into a town, mock city, and we'd like take down a city and, you know, find terrorists and rescue people and, you know, court people off in this area, and then, you know, move them around. It's quite amazing. So I see some of this stuff going on. So I love the way you just brought that out.
It's so genius on their part. I mean, you know, and who knows why all these people want credit for it. I mean, it's a bunch of people, but I mean, it's genius on their level that all this is happening at one time. I mean, that's what still even it impresses me, because once again, I mean, I could see it, sure, and God gave me that ability, but I'm like, man, somebody had to write that. Someone had to implement that. And then put it in command, as you and I know, when it comes from a general and it trickles down, that command, all right, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. And to do it as effectively and efficiently as they have in the short amount of time that they have, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the way you word things too. You give people the out as far as like 9/11. You're like, whether you believe planes really hit the building and brought it down, or whether you think that, you know, it was CGI and demolitions were in the building, you know that people died on that day. And that's a real problem we need to look at. And the same thing, more recently with directed energy weapon use in Paradise, California, and of course in Lahaina. Now, some people will come out and talk about it outright, but some people won't. So I appreciate how you come out and talk about it. Tulsi Gabbard was just recently, and I love Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's amazing. Great revealer. But she was asked about Lahaina, and she talked around it. And I was like, come on, you got, at some point, you got to like get out there and put it out there. You can't keep playing politics the whole time. We need people that will really step up. And I don't know if she's been basically told, don't go over this line by some people, because she's been revealing really well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, I think there's still some people who, you know, they're in a position, and there's also a code for that, but it's no way to really know, as we know, who was told, all right, you're part of this, don't say this, don't cross this line. We don't know everybody that sold that. But I think most people who've ever held any kind of congressional spot has been told that. And then also, with obviously with military and things of that nature, unless you're a veteran, then you're clear in certain arenas, depending on if you had clearance or not. I mean, there's certain things like that, but, and like the direct energy, I've been talking about that a lot lately with a bunch of friends. I haven't really been on podcasts on it lately, but, I was talking about Q and the Q clearance. You know, it's a clearance with the Department of Energy. And there's one thing that President Trump talks about all the time is energy. We have to be energy dependent, and things like that, or energy independent, and things of that nature. And but there are retaliations, as we know. So just like the direct energy weapons, and I think that still, once again, even in the military, as you and I both know, you don't want to make someone do something. You want them to step up to the plate. Here's your order. You know, depending on what rank you are. Now, if you're a general, you're in a different spot, but still, anything under that, here's your order. Are they going to abide by that order? And it's supposed to support the Constitution. Now, that's what we do with our oath, right? When we take that oath, says I will support, defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So it's very key that order has to align with that Constitution. But, you know, we know and I haven't even checked lately. I probably need to check. It's probably been a few more, but I mean, that we're close to 200 commanders from anywhere from a captain to a 2-star general that's been relieved of duty since June 2017. And some people are seeing that and understand that, but to drive that point home even more, a captain to a two-star general is all officers, ladies and gentlemen. Officers aren't enlisted, so it's a whole different process. So officers are the ones that are, when those orders come down from a general to a colonel to a lieutenant colonel to a major to a captain. It's not that far, ladies and gentlemen, at all. So those orders, are they being applied? Are they being upheld? Are they abusing those orders? You know, and every one of them said that they have lost confidence in their command. That's why they were relieved of their duty. So somewhere along the way, ladies and gentlemen, they are not abiding by that order, that one person. So they've been relieved. And to be completely relieved of duty, to be walked in and told, kind of like, you know, athletes, here's your paint slip, you're done. All right, you're done here. Now, the Army might want, well, depending on what branch you're in, the Army might want you, the Navy might want you, depending on what branch you're in, but you're done here. To be completely relieved of duty is a big thing, especially with the years that most of these had in service, anywhere from 10 to 25 years of service. That's a big deal. And in that short window of time. So there's a lot of that going on, and that's kind of why I tell people with Department of, with the direct energy and things of those nature. It will all be unveiled. I mean, there's going to be unveiling of, was that history's going to have to account for that. Was that part of the operation and innocent people got caught in it? Or, you know, was it a retaliation and blah, 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 and they got charged with crimes against humanity because it took out innocent civilians? Those things will be unveiled because we are in a clear operation on paper, whether people can see it or not. So that will be recorded, and it will be accounted for somewhere. And
very good.
I just hope we all live to see it in the sense of, like, everything, because there's a lot of stuff that, when we get done with it, 8 and 12 years is going to be a lot of things happen in that time period.
Yeah. And there's still people in positions that, and they're compromised. They've basically been exposed. One of those is like Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, that's in Congress. Patch, we call him Patch McCain. Basically a baddie to the bone, unfortunately. I met him at an event and introduced myself, and he could not look me in the eye. I was like, that is strange. Usually when I meet my fellow SEALs, we're all about talking about, you know, we just can't shut up. You know, it's like, you know, you and I get together, having a good old time. But he could not look me in the eye. He showed up with no mask, and then he went out on stage and put his mask on. This was back when COVID was still kind of a thing. And I was like, that's really strange. What's going on with them? And then we had the Navy SEAL that was they tried to convict him of war crimes, Ed Gallagher. So there was a lot of us, former Navy SEALs. We had a chat group on Facebook, and we were basically defending him, talking it up. And we started getting attacked, not only from some Navy SEALs, but also from NIS, Naval Investigative Service, and so forth. And we're like, what is going on? They eventually shut down that private Facebook group. And but during that time frame, we brought a lot of attention to the fact that Dan Crenshaw was actually asked to help out Gallagher, and he refused. And not only that, he went behind the back and talked to congressmen that were going to vote for him and told them not to vote for Ed Gallagher, to basically an investigation to get him off. So yeah, there's still some problem people out there. I hate to bring that up, you know.
It's true though. Well, we have to. Yeah. I just put this post up earlier today. I said, look, you know, I've refrained from certain things just because, I mean, I know people don't like. And there's a difference, though, in attacking somebody and then laying out the facts. And President Trump tells people that all the time, look, for the sake of outside of politics, some people just want to talk bad about you, and you got to put them in their place or whatever the scenario is. And right now, that old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, that's where we are now. You know, all back through here, I feel like where God called me to be was to lay out those receipts. And then now we got the play. Here's your playground. Here's your parameters. Here's where you know what to do, ladies and gentlemen. But yes, there's still people out there. You can't eradicate evil, right, completely. Now, the military and everybody on this higher level that we're called where they are, like President Trump and those people, they know who they're operating with. But as they clean that out, we have to identify those that are on this level that we're going to step up and take their places. That's why we call it accountability and responsibility. And then, like you said, compromise. Anybody at any time, ladies and gentlemen, can be compromised because, once again, the Bible tells everybody it's the lust of money. It's not money. It's the lust of money. And a lot of people can be bought. Now, there's a difference in making a living because we are society geared around a dollar, but versus being bought. So that's what people, are struggling with right now. But we do have to do that. We have to call out people in certain things because, once again, where you were and what your situation was in Navy SEALs, most people already, they just hear the term, they know you're elite, but they still don't know the operations. They still don't know what you go through. They still don't know what you are given and what you have to hold on to that you can't tell anybody. And I tell this all the time. I use you a lot in scenario. I use you a lot as examples. I'm like, as a Navy SEAL at JCO, I'm like, you have to blend in. You have to blend in with the enemy and even sell the enemy that you're one of them. I was like, look, a lot of people think they can. And I'm like, there's a difference in Jaco knowing he can because you've already been there, done that, and thinking you can. It's a huge difference, And a lot of people are starting to see, like I said earlier in this, that a lot of people are starting to see a lot more of the military and appreciating a lot more of the military operations, also the information, and then what to do with it, who's doing what with it. And then also, at the end of the day, you and I, we all do it. You hold your partner accountable to the actions. Ladies definitely do it to males. I mean, we get it worse than anybody. It's always actions speak louder than words. So why don't we do that with everybody else, especially in politics, right?
Sure.
Because it's our paycheck, right? And we're not going home with them every day. So that requires even more accountability and responsibility,
Yeah, and, I don't know about some of these people, what they have on some of these people or what, who knows, maybe they got something really serious on some of these people who are like, how are they doing this kind of stuff? So I treat everybody the same. I just point stuff out like you're talking about. They're either going to stand trial somewhere, or they're going to be basically, yep, he infiltrated and he was playing a game and we had it under control all the time. So what let's shift gears a little bit. You have, some amazing music. I really like your country music. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big country music fan normally, but I really like your country music. Now, are you, not only do you have a new book coming out, but I think you got new music coming out too.
Yeah, I've been working on, I'm always working on a new, we call them albums now, what they used to be called, but now you just really put out singles, but you don't really put out an album. But so I think I will record about 10 or 12 here soon. That I write all my stuff. My first album, I didn't because I had a major producer, but now I produce all mine, I write all mine. And so I got that. And then I got the new book coming out that's going to, I mean, we're just in the enlightenment period. Now it's the time to start showing what's been going on, and it's going to hopefully get a lot of fans out there to see what's been going on and to support more artists that are back here versus just the top 20, which is all they give you. And a lot of them are compromised as well. I mean, it's all these systems have run together, and so many people don't realize that. It was all to get into and control minds and keep you distracted here and not see all the other stuff over here. So book's going to be, while I talked to Soul another day, while I have the protection I have right now, I might as well do it now.
That's true. Very good. Very good. Yeah. So you have DerekJohnsonCountry.com. You have your Rattletrap 1776, and is that's where people can get your book too, right?
That's correct. And then if it's, you know, if someone's listening internationally, we had to put it on Amazon because the system we use, you have to code every zip code in every country, and it was going to take, I don't know how long that would take.
Yeah.
And so, and that's unfortunate, the downfall of the Shopify, but yeah, it's on Amazon, but, and it costs a little more, but we did make some humor with it, with 45.47, some price of it. So the dot stands for the dash. So, but anyway.
Very good. And you have the documents info, dot info. So that's the,
and I never took that down. I said, look, if you, I'm like President Trump now, don't buy something if you can't afford it right now. The documents still give you enough to get on track. And then my pages, you know, so the book just puts it in a, you know, a cohesive chronological, but if you can't afford it, I don't need your money kind of deal.
Good. Nice. Nice. And yeah, I love your focus now. I know you used to get kind of like sidetracked with people attacking you, but you're just like, there's so many people attacking all of us now. I don't have time for it. It's like, I can't even keep up with it. I just forget.
I finally reached the point where, you know, and it wasn't that I got mad in the wrong kind of way. Cause I, you know, Charlie, I don't like calling by his name. Mr. Charlie, that's what I call him when I'm around, but Charlie Ward, you know, he gave me some advice and all that hate from the get go. And now, you know, I didn't get mad from the standpoint, but I'm one of those that I'm such a literal person that I'm like, look, I'm not saying you gotta like it, but acknowledge it's there. I'd say that today to people. I said, look, persuasion on any level is still not good because persuasion leads to ignorance on all levels. I give you the receipts. I tell you, I read it how it sits. I say, well, this is what it says with this, how it pertains to the military or federal, but then you have to read it and just use your discernment and think the way you think. But, you know, now you can still think the wrong way, but I'm not going to hammer you and tell you you're not. I'm just going to say, no, well, it means this. And until you read it that way, you might be feeling this way. But I still won't tell you how to think and tell you how to vote and things like that. So, yeah, the hate now, I'm just like, I reached that point where I was just like, you know, it's that saying, if you put out one fire, there's 10 more starting over here.
I was like that in the beginning too. So you just kind of reach a point where, you know, you've reached that point. So I know a lot of people are really concerned about people that attack us. It's like, it'll work its way out in the end. Don't worry, guys. And great job on the Midnight Rider. Oh my God. Such a great book. It's going to be great for, I know, cause there's a lot of military guys that still don't get it. So read the book, guys, and then you're going to get it. It's some of you guys are hard at it. Come on. We need everybody involved in this. Even some of you guys that are still don't get it. So thanks a lot for your work, Derek.
Well, my honor to do so, and it's an honor to, like I said, it had been an honor to serve with you, but it's an honor to know you too and what you've done for our nation. So I did it what?
Absolutely, yeah, and I so love what you're doing. It's absolutely amazing, and you've come a long way, and you keep going. It's like, wow, it's so fun to watch. Good job.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. I hope you got a lot out of it, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.